All right, Rabbi Osei, good morning. Let's begin. So first of all, our shiur today is sponsored. Our shiur today is sponsored by Uncle Mike. Where's Uncle Mike? Uncle Mike is here. In commemoration of the yahrzeit of his sister, Barbara Rush, Bluma Bas Feiga, Zichron Levracha, we hope that in the merit of our time, Torah Neshama has an aliyah. Shkoyach, thank you for the sponsorship. All right, so we're picking up today, Daf Chaf Aleph, page 21a, seven lines down from the top. Amar Rava. So very, very interesting and meaningful sugya teva. Amar Rava. Rava said the following. Kasav la get. If a man wrote his wife a get, v'nas no biyadavdo, and then he took the get, the document, and he placed it in the hand of his eved, meaning an eved that the husband himself owns, the kasav la shtar matana alav. And then Rabbah say, what happens? The husband conveys ownership of the eved to the isha. So again, two-step process over here. He writes the get, puts the get in the hand of the eved. Now remember, when he puts the get in the hand of the eved is simply the adon's chotzer. It's considered to be property. Remember, eved, we have this concept, although the Gemara has not stated it explicitly, it's understood because we've established it in previous sugyos, which is avadim hukshul karkos. The concept ultimately that an eved, a slave, is compared to actual real property. So therefore, when the husband writes the get and places it in the hands of the eved, so he's placing it into his own chotzer. So nothing's really happened. Then what happens? He writes a shtar matana, document of a gift document, and conveys ownership of the eved over to the wife. So that when the wife acquires the eved, in that same moment that she acquires the eved, she also acquires what? She also acquires the get. Because la shtar matana love, kinaso umiskaresh esbo. When she acquires the eved, she acquires the get as well. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, kinaso le eved b'shtar matana zeh. The eved kechatzera, the gita vechatzera ba'in la kechad. Because Rabbah said, when she acquires the eved, it is like she is acquiring a chatzer, and therefore she acquires the chatzer together, or she acquires the chatzer and the get simultaneously. So the moment that she takes possession of the eved is like a chatzer. She takes possession of the get, and therefore she's divorced. And ask the Gemara va'amai, why is that true? Chatzer mehaleches he. We'll say, is this not a mobile chatzer? Right? There's a concept of a chatzer ma'alechas. A chatzer ma'alechas is a chatzer that moves, chatzer that walks, and a chatzer ma'alechas, the chatzer ma'alechas lo kana. And a mobile chatzer is not able to be kona. Look at Rashi. Rashi, the chatzer ma'alechas lo kana. Tichi amar rabban al chatzer shel adam kona lo. Because when the rabbis legislated that a person's chatzer has the ability to acquire in his behalf, so lav b'chatzer ma'alechas amar. The shiny mikarkoi denaidi, mikarkoi delo naidi. So both said the idea is that when Chazal instituted the concept that a person's chutzah, a person's courtyard, a person's karka has the ability to go ahead and acquire on their behalf, that's only assuming that what? That the chatzer is similar to normative karka. And just like normative karka is stationary, so to a chatzer that has the ability to be kona on behalf of someone else must be stationary as well. Therefore, lemaisa, again, the eved is a mobile chatzer. The eved could get up and walk around. If that's the case, then how could the eved serve as a chatzer to acquire the get on behalf of the woman? To which the Gemara says, v'chi teima ba'omeid. Well, maybe you say, okay, I have a simple answer. Is that what's the simple answer? The case is where the eved is standing still. Okay, so therefore, again, the eved standing still. Therefore, the ma'isa again, he's not a chatzer ma'alechas. Aye, that doesn't work, the Gemara says. V'ha'amar Rava, kol she'ilu mahalech lo kana, omeid v'yoshev lo kana. To which Rava says, it doesn't work. Why? Because the psul, the invalidation of chatzer ma'alechas, Rava says, is not only a chatzer that is in active movement, but rather what? Any chatzer that is technically speaking mobile will not be able to acquire on behalf of its owners even when it's stationary. Therefore, the Gemara says over here that, remember, this is actually an interesting idea because what the Gemara is saying is like this. The concept of chatzer mehaleches, that a mobile chatzer doesn't have the ability to acquire on behalf of the owner, is a fundamental invalidation in the chatzer itself, meaning the chatzer itself is flawed. What the Gemara is saying is it makes no difference if the chatzer is in active movement or the chatzer is stationary. Therefore, if an eved is not a good chatzer because he's a chatzer mehaleches, then at the end of the day, again, that is true, whether the Eved is standing still or the Eved is moving, to which the Gemara. So we'll say, so again, just to follow this train of thought, remember, we started off with a very simple case, or what at least appeared to be a simple case. Husband wants to convey get to his wife. The way he does it is he puts it in the hands of his Eved. Now remember, at that moment, that does nothing because the Eved is owned by the husband. So then husband chooses to give over the Eved to the wife as a gift. Gives her a shtar. She acquires the Eved through the shtar. In that moment, again, when she acquires the Eved, the Gemara wanted to suggest that she acquires the get as well, because an Eved is like a chatzar. Therefore, the moment she acquires an Eved, remember, we'll say, the Gemara has not stated this explicitly, but we are going to spend a significant amount of time regarding kinyan chatzar, the ability for your property to acquire on your behalf. And by the way, we're going to see that works, whether you know about it, whether you don't know about it. We'll get into the details of it. But for now, kind of just in a panoramic view, give over the Eved. Once she acquires the Eved, which is a chatzar, she acquires the get as well. To which the Gemara says that can't work because it's a chatzar mahalecha. It's the only type of chatzar that acquires on your behalf is a stationary chatzar. Eved is not a stationary chatzar. To which the Gemara says Eved standing still. Doesn't work because even if Eved is standing still, Rava said any chatzar that is technically mobile can't acquire on your behalf. Therefore, the Gemara says, what's the case? V'hilchasa bekafos. And we'll say the case over here is where the Eved is tied. The Eved is tied up, he's bound. And therefore, because he's bound, therefore, what are we saying? He's stationary. And he can't move even if he wanted to. Rashi says over bekafos, de'eno ro'i lahalich. He can't walk. Now, I just point out to you, Tosus actually throws in here also that he has to be sleeping as well. He has to be sleeping and bound. So the idea over here is, I mean, there's no possibility of movement. Okay, we don't have to get into the machlokas. I'm sorry? No, she doesn't have to come. Remember, because your chatzar acquires on your behalf. She,
but he has to give it to her.
No, he doesn't. Remember, again, I will say that's the point of kinyan chatzar. Your chatzar acquires something on your behalf, which means the moment it acquires it on your behalf, it's done. She never has to receive it in her hand. Remember, there's going to be no different than a case of where a husband goes in and throws a get into the chatzar of the wife. Again, we're getting a little bit of ahead of ourselves because we're going to see these cases later on. But the whole idea of kinyan chatzar is that your chatzar has the ability to acquire something on your behalf without it ever actively reaching your hand. So in this case over here, when she acquires the Eved, she automatically acquires the get wherever she is. So the Gemara is therefore setting up the case as a case of kafos, where the Eved ultimately again is, that's why I will say this case is a little bit confused, not confusing, but well, this often happens in Gemara. The Gemara is drawing on principles that the Gemara assumes we know, even though we didn't learn them yet, right? Because remember, again, like I said before, the whole issue of chatzar, or the whole inyan of chatzar, that a chatzar's ability to acquire on your behalf and acquire something without you even reaching your hands, is something the Gemara is actually only going to articulate later on. But this case draws on these ideas. So hilchasa b'kafos, therefore the Gemara says the only way this case actually works is if the Eved is tied up and therefore is immobile. And therefore in that particular case, again, this would work. Husband writes the get, puts it in the hands of the Eved, drafts a shtar matana, because you have to convey ownership of the Eved. Wife acquires the Eved, and the moment that she acquires the Eved, she also acquires the get. Fine. Vamarava. We'll say another case. Kasav la get.
It could be the other way, though. Maybe she acquires the get, he's a shaliach, essentially.
No, because, again, she can't. If that would work, if the Eved brings her the get. You can't be. You can't have it both. A shaliach brings a get to someone. If the husband wants to appoint the Eved to bring a shaliach, he'll bring the get. But Amar Rava, Rava said, "Kasav la get v'nasna bechatzero." So we'll say, so another case. Husband writes his wife a get, and he places it in his chatzar. Okay, this is a chatzar owned by the husband. V'kasav la shtar matana alav. And then what happens? He conveys ownership of the chatzar to the wife. So he writes a shtar matana document, a gift document. And again, through that gift, conveys ownership of the chatzar. So what's the halacha? Kinasu miskareshas. So she acquires the chatzar. She acquires the chatzar. And by definition, by acquiring the chatzar, she also acquires the get. And she is divorced. I will say, so at first glance, that is this. How is this different? Excellent. Excellent. Right? So it's the same case. Same case. Twitch the Gemara says it's Richa. We need both cases. We need both cases. So remember, we'll say, again, you're telling me the same case twice. Because remember, the case of an Eved is also a case of Chatzar. So why is the Gemara telling me the same case twice? With Richa, I'll tell you why. Di Ashmo Inon Eved, Hava Amina Dafka Eved. Because had the Gemara told me the case of the Eved. Remember, the case of the Eved is the case we just expressed before. Namely, husband goes ahead and writes his wife a get. puts it in the hand of his Eved, and then conveys, gifts that Eved over to the Isha, over to the wife. So had the Gemara just taught me that particular case, Hava Amina Dafka Eved, I would have said this only applies in a case of an Eved. Aval Chotzer, Ligzar Mishum Chotzer Haba'a La'achar Mikan. Oh, see, the Hava Amina would have been like this. I would have thought, had the Gemara just brought down the case of Eved, I would have said this case works by Eved, but doesn't work by Chatzar. In other words, again, that a case where a husband writes a get, puts the get in the Chatzar, and then conveys ownership of the Chatzar over to the Isha, the Havamina is that that case would not work. Why? Because I'd be concerned that that resembles a case of Chatzar Haba'a La'achar Mikan. What's the case of Chatzar Haba'a La'achar Mikan? We'll say, look at Rashi. Chatzar Haba'a La'achar Mikan. This is actually a very interesting case as well. Kigon. Nasan la get b'chatzar chavero. So we'll say, listen to this case. So imagine the following situation. Reuven is married to Rachel. And Reuven has a friend, Shimon. So Reuven wants to divorce Rachel. So he goes and he writes a get. And what does he do? He places the get in the chatzar of Shimon. Okay? The get b'chatzar chavero. V'halach b'al chatzar u'machar la'asa chatzar. And then what does Shimon do? Shimon goes ahead and sells the chatzar to Rachel. Right, remember again, so Reuven's married to Rachel, Reuven wrote the get, deposited the get in the field of Shimon, Shimon sells his chatzar to Rachel. So when Rachel purchases that chatzar, what does she get? She gets a chatzar, and it also happens to be a get in there. Right, the Gemara says, umachalas a chatzar, onasan labamatana, but it doesn't have to be a case of sale, it could also be a case of where Shimon gifts her the chatzar. So the Gemara says, v'hav vade in migreshes. Now that case, for sure, doesn't work. Meaning, Rachel is definitely not divorced in that case. How do we know she's definitely not divorced in that case? D'man migarish la. Because who's divorcing her? D'cheshenosan habal haget b'chatzar. Lo shela ha'isa d'tekni la chatzera ki'ilu nasna biyada. Because you must remember, when Reuven originally wrote to get and deposited in the field, it wasn't Rachel's field, it was Shimon's field. And therefore, again, there's no kinyan chatzar over there on behalf of Rachel. V'chi asa hai chatzar liyada, lav mikoach habal asyala, d'nei havi no sin la chatzar v'aget b'yachad. So I'm saying, in this case over here, remember, she's certainly not divorced. Why? Because when husband put the get in the chatzar of Shimon, it wasn't Shimon's chatzar. The fact that now Shimon chooses to sell that chatzar, to give that chatzar to Rachel, and it happens to be that there's a get that was written by Rachel's husband in that chatzar, the get doesn't work for the simple reason that what is it lacking? It's lacking nesina. Remember, again, Abba says, we're going to see, as we already have begun to see, in order for a get to work, there must be a direct giving over of the get from the husband to the wife. Now, when we say direct doesn't have to be that the husband directly hands it into his wife's hands. Remember, we've already seen that there's a possibility of shlichos. You could use agents. There's also the possibility of chatzar, that, again, the wife's property could acquire in her behalf. But the idea is, there must be a direct connection, a direct giving over of the get in some way from husband to wife. In this case, there's a break in the chain. What's the break in the chain? Husband wrote the get, put it in Shimon's chatzar. What is that? Exactly. Right? Absolutely nothing. Meaning, again, the act of putting it in the chatzar of Shimon, despite, even though Shimon, the next day or the next hour, goes in and gifts that chatzar over to Rachel, there's a break in the transmission of the get from the husband to the wife, and therefore she's not migreshes. Therefore, the Gemara says like this. Remember what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara wants to know, why do I need two seemingly identical cases? Why do I need the case of the Eved and the case of the chatzar? The Gemara says, I'm going to tell you why. Because had the Gemara just told me the case of the Eved, I would have assumed that case works, but the chatzar case doesn't. Remember, what's the chatzar case? The chatzar case is, husband writes his wife a get, puts the get in the husband's chatzar, and then husband conveys ownership of that chatzar to the wife. The Havamina is, Ed Gemara not told me that case works, I would have thought that case doesn't work. Why shouldn't that case work? Not because that case is actually okay, but lest you come to confuse it with another case of what we call chatzar haba'a la'achar mikan, which means a chatzar that only comes into our possession after the fact, which is the case that involves a third party, like Rashi said. So therefore, I would have thought maybe, even in the case where the husband writes it again, puts it in his chatzar and conveys his chatzar to her, I would have said, we should say at least rabbinically, that case doesn't work. Why? Because it too much resembles the other case of where Shimon's involved. Therefore, again, the Gemara says, Therefore, again, therefore, the Gemara has to explicitly state the case of Chatzer to tell me that the case of Chatzer works. So also remember, we're talking about a very specific case of Chatzer, where the husband writes the get, puts the get in his Chatzer, then gifts that Chatzer over to the Isha. That case works. Furthermore, the Gemara says, had we just written the case of Chatzer and not the case of Eved, Aval Eved Ligzer Kafos Ata She'ino Kafos Kamash Molon. No, the Gemara says something very interesting. And if what had just said the case of Chatzer, I would have thought Chatzer works, but Eved doesn't work. Why doesn't Eved work? Because you must remember, Eved only works in a very specific case, which is when the Eved is tied down. So I would have thought that we shouldn't even allow the case of an Eved that's tied down, lest you what? Lest you come to use an untethered Eved, right? An untied Eved. And therefore, again, Lemaisa, and therefore, we shouldn't allow it. Kamash on that we do. So both sides. So bottom line, Halacha Lemaisa, what comes out from both of these cases. And in fact, the Rambam does codify both of these cases. That, number one, Halacha Lemaisa, number one, that you could give, if in the case of Eved works, but namely, it only works with Kafa. So therefore, Halacha Lemaisa, number one, is that if a husband could go ahead and write a get, put the get in the hand of that Eved, and gift that Eved ultimately to the Isha, assuming that what? That the Eved is tied down. Because that, assuming that the Eved is tied down, he's able to function as a normative chatzer, and is able to go ahead and convey ownership over to the Isha. That's point one. Point number two is that halacha lemaisa, again, if the Adon writes a get, places that get in his chatzer, and then conveys ownership of that chatzer to the wife, she is divorced, because the moment that she acquires the chatzer, she also acquires what? The get that is inside. However, in a case where husband writes a get, deposits that get in the chatzer of his friend, then the friend conveys ownership of that chatzer to the wife, to the wife, you understand, the original individual's wife. That case does not work. When I say it does not work, she's not migureshes. Why? Because there's a break in the nesina between the husband and the wife. And therefore, again, I want to be clear, she acquires the field, right? That's no problem. She acquires the field, but she is not migureshes, says the Gemara. So the Gemara is going to try to dissect this a little bit. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Michti, Chatzer Mehecha Israbi. So we'll say, so first of all, the Gemara takes a step back and says, by the way, where do we know the concept of chatzer? Meaning, we'll say the Gemara is presupposing over here that a chatzer, one's property, has the ability to acquire on their behalf. So where does that come from? Meaning, how do we know that? So the Gemara says, Mis Miyada, we learn that out from the case of Yad. Right? We assume, Rabbi Yosef, in other words, that's another way of saying, chatzer is an extension of one's yad. Chatzer is an extension of one's hand. Ma yada. So we'll say, so watch this. Ma yada di isa mi bein mi daita bein bal karcha. Af chatzera di isa bein mi daita bein bal karcha. And we'll say, if that's the case, that chatzer is an extension of yad, that has to mean that chatzer works in the same framework as yad. And therefore what? Just like one's hand could acquire on one's behalf either with their consent or without their consent, meaning with their consent or against their will. So we'll say, now what does it mean one's hand could, in other words, let's say again, wife is holding out her hand. She's having an animated conversation with someone, probably about her husband, right? So what happens? So she has her hand out and her husband runs by and boom, slaps the get right down in there, right? So what's the halacha, Rabbi Yosei? She's divorced. Again, she said, I don't want it. Doesn't matter. Your yad has the ability to acquire even against them. I will say, now we'll see, by the way, if that's true in all cases. Well, again, we're going to discuss the parameters of this. But we must try to actually pose a cash over here. So let's follow the progression. The idea that chatzer acquires on my behalf is an extension of yad, because my property is an extension of me. So therefore, again, the Gemara says, if that's true, so then just like my yad acquires, either with my consent or against my will, so too my chatzer should also be able to acquire. Let's read in the Gemara. It says, so too af chatzera de isa bein midaita bein bal karcha. So too chatzer should only work if what? If it works with my consent or against my consent. Well, 1 second, here's the kasha. V'hama tana midaita isa bal karcha lesa. But what was the case of the Gemara? Case of the Gemara is where the husband's writing a get and he's placing it in his chatzer. And what is he doing? He's giving it to her as a gift. Now here's the amazing part is you can't give someone a gift against their will. right? A gift only works. A gift only. I'm sorry. So okay, so that so zochen lo shalom lefanav is not a matana. It's not a matana. So Menachem's saying, good, we're going to bring up that concept. And thank you for saying that. Throatiness was very, it was like a nice addition as well. It's like, you should narrate this year. So again, unfortunately. So now the Gemara is asking a kasha. So why should the case of the chatzar work? Because remember, the case of a chatzar is a matana, is where there's a gift. So I'll say, if you're telling me that the only time that chutzah works because it resembles yad, therefore that should mean that chutzah should only work when mamash it resembles yad. What does it mean? How does yad work? Yad works either midaita or bal karcha. So to chutzah should only work in a case where it can acquire both midaita and bal karcha. Well, that doesn't work with this case because this case is a case of matana. Matana only works midaita, not bal karcha. Maskif Rav Simi Barashi. So Rav Simi Barashi raised the kasha. He said, he objects to this. V'hashlichos the Kabbalah. But I will say, what about the case of Shliach la Kabbalah? Shliach la Kabbalah, remember, is a shaliach appointed by the wife to acquire the get on her behalf. Dimidaita Isa bal karcha lesa. So Rav says, Shliach la Kabbalah only works in a case where what? Only works in a case where she appoints the shaliach. But Rav says, there's no such thing as a shliach le Kabbalah bal karcha. Shliach le Kabbalah is an agent appointed by the wife to receive the get on her behalf. That only works with her consent, doesn't work against her will. But yet, the kahavi shliach le Kabbalah. Rav says, here's the interesting part. Now remember, shlichos is also an extension of what? Is also an extension of yad. Right? I will say again, it's actually, if you think about it, by the way, the good metaphor is this week's parasha, right? I mentioned this by Matei Shabbos learning, that that the Medrash, Barashi goes to the Medrash that says, Batishlach HaSamasa, right? Bas Paro is bathing by the Nile River, she sees the basket, Batishlach HaSamasa, she extends her hand, and Rashi HaKadosh points out the Medrash that says, what miracle happened? Mishtarvei v'yada, her hand extended. I will say, if you think about it, by the way, that's shlichos. That's shlichos, right? A shaliach is an extension of my hand. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, then what? If that's the case, then if shlichos is an extension of my hand, then shlichos should only work when it resembles my hand, which means what? Just like my hand acquires midaiti and bal karchi with my consent and against my will, so to shlichos should only work in a case where what? Where it works, midaita mi bal karcha. But a shliach lekabbalah works, and a shliach lekabbalah only works what? Midaita and not bal karcha. To which the Gemara says, v'abaye, atu shlichos miyadois, Rabbi, bless you. So Abaye says, one second, do we learn out shlichos from yada? Is that what you think? Do you think that we learn out the concept of shlichos because an extension of our hand? That's not true. It's Rabbi, mi v'shalach v'shilcha is Rabbi. So both say, excuse me, mi v'shilach v'shilcha is Rabbi. Both say, actually, we learn shlichos from a drasha, from a gzeres hakasav. Right, the pasuk says v'kasav la'sefer krisos v'nasam biyada v'shilcha mi beiso. Right, v'shilcha mi beiso. He could send her away. I was saying the pasuk could have just said v'shalach mi beiso. The Gemara is going to dash later on. We're going to see v'shilcha, an extra, literally an extra hay. Where the Gemara learns out the concept of shlichos, that you can employ the concept of agency by get. So shlichos is not an extension of hands, of one's hand, but rather, again, shlichos ultimately is what? Shlichos is exeris hakosav. To which the Gemara says, by the way, v'ibay seima, shlichos the kabbalah nami ashkechan bal karcha. It's not true, by the way. You could even find the case of shliach la kabbalah that works bal karcha. Where is that case? Shekein av mekabel get lebito kitana bal karcha. Or else I'll tell you where it could come up. Let's say it comes up in the following case. A father has the right to marry off his minor daughter. Father has that right. So midoraisa, he has that right. So let's say he marries her off. That's biblical marriage. What happens now? Husband decides to divorce her. So let's say, svat halacha, she requires a get. Her father has the ability to be a self-appointed shliach lekabbalah to receive the get on behalf of his daughter. Therefore, what do you see? There is a case of shliach lekabbalah, ultimately, again, that even works bal karcha. So the Gemara stops over here, but what comes out from this sugya is something exceptionally important, namely two things. Number one, the idea ultimately, again, of where do we learn out the concept of chatzar from? So this is a yesodistic idea, which is that the concept of chatzar ultimately is learned out from yad. One's property is considered to be an extension of one's person. Rosh Hashanah, you should just know, is an interesting yisod in general about how people view their property. This is why people have such a connection to home. People have such a close connection to, because again, we see even just on a hashkafic level that where I live, like what my property is, what my property looks like, ultimately, again, is an extension of my persona, an extension of myself. So therefore, the Gemara says over here that the concept of chatzir ultimately is an extension of yad. So therefore, again, that's going to be important for us. Why? Because when then determining the parameters of chatzir, we then look to yad. So first of all, now we understand how is it that chatzir, how is it that one's property could acquire bal karcha, could acquire against one nebosei. Again, like I said before, right now we're talking the inyane gittin. How this applies in other areas of halacha, we'll have to see as we get into the sugya of chatzir.
But be enough to move at all. Where would the second time mentioning that there would be a naftamina between other acquiring and that of a get?
Because a get could be given bal karcho. Who says that other things could be acquired bal karcho? We don't, right? I can't give you a gift against your will. Right? I can't loan you money against your will. Right? But by get, I can give it to you against your will. No, it's not a kula we're going to see. It's not a kula. It's actually gzeres hakasav we're going to see, because a get is a husband-driven process. And therefore, again, we're going to see that midaraisa get does not require consent of the isha. So again, so that's what I'm saying. What we're saying over here by chatzir, we're talking right now dafka by get. So therefore, again, for our purposes, so just like yad could acquire bein midaita, bein bal karcha, she could acquire a get in her hand with her consent, without her consent. Therefore, the chatzir is an extension, ultimately, again, of her yad, of her hand. However, again, when it comes to shlichus, so again, we see a machlokas. Some say that shlichus is also an extension of her yad. Her agent is an extension of her hand. Others say no, shlichus is not an extension of her hand. The concept that a shliach could ultimately receive the get on her behalf, that's gzeiras hakasav. That's what I'm learning out, because the pasuk could have said v'shalach, instead says v'shilcha, and therefore being marbe, the Gemara is including the possibility that the whole process of din can be handled by agents. Okay, we're not resolving it. The Gemara is just framing it. We'll come back to it. Weiter says the Gemara, ala ala shalzayis. Remember again, the Mishnah said, that you can go ahead and you can go ahead ala ala shal zayis val keren shal para no sin la sapara. So we'll say, so remember, if you went ahead and you wrote the get on the leaf of an olive tree or on the horn of a cow, so you have to give her the entire cow. So the Gemara says, I understand bishlama yad eved. I understand. Or else another example was, if you wrote the get on the hand of the eved, you have to give her the entire eved. So I understand, says the Gemara, bishlama yad eved. I understand that the husband has to give the wife the entire eved, right? Meaning, if he writes the get on the hand of the eved, he has to give her the entire eved. Why? So the Gemara says, because lo efshar lemiktzei, because obviously you can't cut off the hand of your eved. Now, I know this is going to sound like a very strange question. Why not? Right? The eved is my property. I should be able to do it. I could dig a hole in my property if I want. Right? I could do whatever I want. People do whatever they want with their property. Right? They do all kinds of things. So what happens? So now, again, if my eved, right? It's my eved. I want to cut off his hand. Why can't I? To which the Gemara says, look at Rashi. Lo efshel mitzie. The shayach b'mitzah. Suppose this is actually amazing. First of all, there's a good reason you can't cut off. Remember, if you maim your eved, he goes free. That's number one. But okay, but that doesn't tell me I can't do it. That just tells me that if I do it, he goes free. So look at Rashi says, the shayach b'mitzvos. Because also remember again, an eved, this is an eved kinani. We're not talking about an eved ivri over here. It's eved kinani. A non-Jewish servant is chayv in mitzvos. Ve'eino rashi l'chababo. V'imchababo yotze l'cheros b'rashi yivarem. Alma eino rashi l'chababo. Also remember again, we've seen this before. An eved kinani is chayv in mitzvos like an isha. He's chayv in mitzvos, meaning in all non-time bound mitzvos. So because he's chayv in mitzvos, therefore he requires his body to be intact, and therefore you can't maim him in a way that would compromise his shmiras mitzvos. So I understand, therefore, if I write the get on the hand of the eved, so the husband has to convey ownership of the entire eved over to the isha. Ela keren shapara liktziei v'leisvela. But I don't understand, if he writes the get on the horn of the cow, why don't you just cut off the horn? Give her the horn. Why do you have to give her the whole cow? To which the Gemara says, "Amakra the kasav in asana." Oh, gzeras hakasav, because the pasuk says he shall write the get and give it to her. What do we learn from there? Mi she'ena mechusar el ksiva v'nasina. It means in the process of get, the get has to be written in a way where right after it's written, it's what? It's what?
Yeah.
It's ready to be given. Yatza zeh, that comes to include a case. Shemechusr ksiva, ketzitza unesina. In other words, what the Gemara is saying over here is Xeris Akav says, v'kasa v'nasan means there must be immediacy. You must be able to write, once it's written, must be able to be given. If there is an intervening process, like for example, you have to detach the horn, that invalidates the get process. Rabbi said, the Gemara is saying, it's not illogical, it's Xeris Akav. This is what the Pasuk is mandating. As soon as the get is written, it must be ready to be given, which means that if there's anything else that has to happen in order to go ahead and make it ready to be given, it's not a kosher get. Therefore, if you want to divorce her with the get that is written on the horn of the cow, no problem, by the way, you can do it. You just have to what? You have to give her the cow. So the Gemara says the following. Cut off the horn. No. You don't, sure. If you cut off the horn first, then absolutely you can do whatever you want. Absolutely. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Rabbi Yossi, remember again, what did Rabbi Yossi Aglili? I'm sorry. What did Rabbi Yossi Aglili say in the Mishnah? So remember again, Rabbi Yossi Aglili said, "In kosvin lo al davar sheish mo ruachayim velo ala ochar." Rabbi Yossi Aglili paskin that you can't write on any living thing or on food. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, sorry. I lost the place. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, my time is Rabbi Yossi Aglili. What's Rabbi Yossi Aglili's logic? So the Gemara says, the son is safer because the Pasuk says, v'kasavla safer krisos. Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Yossi Aglili understands that what is safer? I mean, look at Rashi, safer, mashma klaf. Means cloth, parchment. So therefore again, Pshuto Shalmikra, the Pasha reading of the Pasuk, tells me that a get has to be written on cloth, has to be written on parchment. So the Gemara says, Desanya, I'm sorry, Rabbi tells Rabbi Yosef, Desanya, safer, Eli Ela safer, Sa'ali no parchment, Minayin the Rabbos kol davar, but say, how do I know that I can even go ahead and write on other materials? I mean, Lav Dafka has to be parchment. Talmud Lomar, the Kasav law, Mikomakom. Therefore, the Pasuk says, Kasavla. Rabbi Yossi Aglili understands that the Kasavla means you could write for her on any surface, on any writing surface. I am Kain Matam Alomar Sefer. So, we'll say, see, understand what's happening over here? You have two almost opposing drushas. On one hand, Sefer teaches me that it should be parchment. But Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, the Kasavla, you shall write for her, seems to teach me that what? Any writing surface is okay. So if you tell me v'kasavla means any writing surface is okay, then ma tamad lomar safer. Why do I need the word safer? Watch this. Ma safer davar shem bo ruach chayim ve'eino ochel. Because just as a safer is something that does not have life, that is not living, and is not food, af kol davar shein bo ruach chayim ve'eino ochel. So too you can write on anything as long as what? As long as A, it's not living, and as long as B, it's not a food item. So Moses says, here this fascinating drush of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So again, the Kasavla teaches me that I can write on anything, but Sefer comes to define what anything is. And I can write on anything as long as it resembles Sefer. Namely, A, it's not alive, and B, it's not a food item. V'rabbanan, what do the rabbis counter on this? V'rabbanan, iksev, if the Pasuk would have said, Bas Sefer, Kidika Amrit. Rabbi, if the Pasuk would have said Bas Sefer, now Rabbi say, what's your thing, Sefer and Bas Sefer? So Sefer is just a statement. Bas Sefer is a declarative. That because of law, Bis Sefer, Krisos. You must write for her Bis Sefer. Then I would have understood that Dafka has to be an action on a piece of paper, we'll call it parchment like item. So Hashta Dechsev Sefer. But now that it just said because of law, Sefer, Krisos, then what does that teach me? The Sfiras Dvarim Huda Asa. Oh, well, so you know what that comes to teach me? That comes to teach me the Sfiras Dvarim. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Hashta Dechsiv Sefer. Ein Zuela Vekasav Sfiras Divrei Krisos. Ve'amad Dibay Lichtov. So, what's that? Listen to this. The Rabbanon understand that the word Sefer is not from the Lashon of book, but rather, again, it's from the Lashon of Lissaper. That the get must contain the details of divorce. Now, what those details are, we're going to get into the next sugya. So, according to the Rabbanon, Sefer does not dictate to me, does not tell me, or does not even give me a framework for what the get is to be written on, but rather Sefer tells me about the details that must be written in the get. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, it's just Darmud Asa. But Rabbanan, hi Vikasav, my Avdile. So what do the rabbis do with the word Vikasav, or with the phrase Vikasav? So the Gemara says, Mi boile biksuva, biksiva miskareshas, ve'ena miskareshas bikesef. Oh, hello, says, listen to this. The Rabbanan darshan the word Vikasav to teach me that what? That you could only get divorced with writing, but you can't get divorced with money. Now listen, now what does that mean? Sakadaitcha, I mean, because listen to this, it's fascinating. Akish Yetzila Avia. We'll say, I know this is going to sound strange, but we're going to equate many ways marriage with divorce. In other words, from a mechanistic or from a legalistic perspective. So I might have thought, because we already have certain comparisons, which we have not learned yet, but we will soon, certain comparisons between marriage, between the process of getting married and the process of getting divorced. So I might have thought, I'll make another comparison. Ma'avia b'kesef, afyitzia b'kesef. I will say, just like you can get into a marriage with money, because remember, a man could be mekadesh and isha with money, so too I would have thought what? That one could accomplish divorce through money as well? Kamash molon, no. Kamash on the Rabbanon say that v'kasav teaches me that what? That divorce could only be affected through writing and not through money. V'idach, and where does Rabbi Yosef Lili learn that out from? Nafgalei misefer krisos. He learns it out from the phrase sefer krisos, a book of division. Sefer karsa, ve'in davar achar karsa. Rabbi Yosef Lili says the pasuk tells us that what? It is only a book that will dissolve the marriage, but nothing else, including money, dissolves the marriage. Money might help, but it's only the book that will, it's only the sefer, it's only the document that will dissolve the marriage. The idach, and what do the rabbis do? What do the rabbanon do with sefer krisos? Oh, I must say, this is really interesting. The idach mi boile, davar hakores beino lebeino. I will say, again, so the rabbis learn this out how? That they hold sefer krisos teaches me that the get must be a book that divides ultimately between him and her. What does that mean? That a get must be an absolute division ultimately between husband and wife. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Kidisanya. Harizegitech, amanas shlotishti yayin, amanas shlotelchi labes avichali olam, in zekrisos. Well, so let's say a man gives his wife a get. Now we're gonna spend a lot of time about giving a get with a tanai. So he gives the following tanai. He really doesn't like his in-laws. So even when they're not going to be his in-laws, he's still mamish going to get them. So he says what? This is your get on the condition that you never visit your parents. You never go to your parents' house. Or this is your get on the condition that you never drink wine forever. So Bo says, so what's the halacha? In that case, the get's not valid. Why is the get not valid, Bo say? Because any tanai that binds him to her in some way forever, that's not a sefer krisos. That's not a division. Right? In order for a get to be a get, there must be a full split between husband and wife. By keeping an eternal or a condition, an ongoing condition there, lemaise, again, it's not a get. On the other hand, ad shloshim yom hareze krisos. But interestingly enough, if he says, this is your get on the condition that you not visit your parents for the next 30 days, or that you not drink wine for the next 30 days, then what? Lemaisa, that works. That get is actually okay. What now? Both say, now not only is that get kosher, that get is kosher now. You don't have to wait 30 days. The get is kosher now. Why? Either is a tanai. Because why? Because the tanai is not ongoing. The tanai, there is a tanai for 30 days, that's fine. But as long as it's not an ongoing tanai, the get will be valid right now. Of course, the get is ultimately only valid, assuming what? That she fulfills the tanai. Of course, Rabbi say again, if he gives her the get, she is divorced as of this moment. But if she has a glass of wine to celebrate her newfound emancipation, then what? Then Lamaisa, again, she's retroactively invalidated the get. Or if her parents invite her over, she goes over for dinner, then she, but assuming that she keeps to the tanai for 30 days, then Lamaisa, again, they go with that. But see, you should just know, I feel like I'm teasing you a little bit with all, because these are all great for us, we're learning them, right? But these are all great cases. Remember, we're going to go through each of these cases in the Gemara. The Gemara is just quoting this now, but these are all cases we're going to devote significant time to. So therefore, again, the idach, the other opinion says mikaris krisos. The other opinion learns this out from the fact that it says mikaris krisos. That I will say the pasuk could have said the kasav la sefer karis, but yet the Torah chooses the lashon of krisos. The idach karis krisos lo darshi. And the other opinion says we don't darshan karis krisa. So both say, so at the end of the day, we are left with a fascinating machlokes between Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, ultimately again, and the Rabbanon. And it all comes down to ultimately how they are dashing this Sefer the drushes of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili versus the drushes of the Rabbanon. I must say, you should just know, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi HaGlili in totality. In other words, that Lamaisa, again, we do allow the get to be written, even on Ochlim, even on certain things that are quote-unquote food items. But davar sheish bo ruach chaim, something that's living, so that's much more complicated. So again, that will depend. So for example, we do paskin that, for example, a husband could go ahead and write a get on a detached olive leaf. Again, it has to be detached. That's going to be the next mishnah we're going to learn right now. We also paskin that he could go ahead and write the get on the horn of a cow. But what does he have to do if he's going to write the get on the horn of the cow? He has to give her the entire cow. All right, he could cut off the horn beforehand, but assuming he did not do that, he must go ahead and give her the entire cow. So lemaisa, we do not paskin like Rabbi Yossi, we paskin like the Rabbanon, and therefore again, technically speaking, the get could be written on food items and could be written on living things. But remember, if you write the get on food items or living things, there's a whole other set of halachos that governs how that get is written and under what circumstances that get can be given. Says the Mishnah. Ain't kosim b'mechor l'gaz. Let's just go. I'm sorry?
How long is an ongoing tonight? 30 days, 10 years, 100 years?
We're going to see. It's a sugya unto itself. Mishnah. Ain't kosim. We'll say again, understand, I'm not trying to be evasive, but we're going to get, tonight is a sugya. That's what I told you before. Tonight is a whole sugya unto itself, which we're going to get to. Right now, the Gemara is just bringing it in tangentially. Says the Mishnah. Ain't kosim mechobel karka. So we'll say, next halacha. You can't write a get on anything attached to the ground. So, we'll say, let's say you went ahead and you wrote a get on something that is mechobar. So we'll say, remember, this, the Mishnah already referenced this before in the previous Mishnah. So again, statement number one, and this we're going to see, this is interesting. Statement number one is, you can't write on anything mechobar lekarka. Can't write anything detached. On anything attached. Then, but if you wrote on something attached, we'll say, if you wrote a get on something that is attached to the ground, and then you detached it, and then you signed it, and you gave it to her, it's kosher. The Mishnah seems to be contradicting itself. We'll talk about this in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda, posel, ad take tivasa v'chasimasa betalash. Rabbi Yehuda requires, that's what? If you're going to write a something that is mechuber, you first must detach it, and then sign it, write it and sign it while it is detached. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, in kosvin lo al niyara machuk, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, you can't write a get on a piece of erased parchment. Velo ala diftera. We'll discuss. Diftera is unprocessed parchment. Unprocessed parchment. So if you don't say this, you can't write a get on either of these items. Why? Mipneishu yachol lehizdayif. Because they can be forged. Now, what's the pshat? Now, under normal circumstances, we already touched on this a little bit. So remember, again, remember last week, we spent a lot of time discussing golnachus, right? Golnachus, of course, right? So what happens? So remember, me'afatzim. So remember, again, the Gemara already made it clear that halacha lemaisa, they used to treat the parchment with golnachus. The reason they did that was why? Because if you were to try to tamper with the get, you could see it, right? It would come up. So the Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, that's why you cannot write a get on either erased parchment or on diftera, which as we'll see is not fully processed parchment. And the reason for that is because erased parchment has already been erased. Therefore, if somebody goes ahead and erases it again, what? You're not going to be able to see it. Diftera also, we'll see, is not tamper-proof. So the Gemara says, you could even use erased parchment and you could even use diftera to go ahead and write the get. So says the Gemara. Let's go, so let's analyze this. So really interesting sugyas. So the Gemara says, kasu ala mechuber. So remember again, the Mishnah, the Gemara says, v'ha'amrit, reisha in kosin. So the Gemara asked the obvious kasha. The Mishnah began with a statement, right? What was the statement? Ein kosvin b'mechuber lekarko. You can't write a get on anything attached to the ground. Done. Then what does the Mishnah say? If you wrote a get on something attached to the ground, and you detached it, and you signed it, and you gave it to the Isha, it's kosher. Rabbi Huda says, no, you can only write on the get. It has to first be detached, and then you could write it and sign it and deliver. So what's going on over here? You just told me before, you started out by saying that anything attached to the ground can't be used for a get. And then right afterwards, what do you do? You talk about again the halacha, the pediyavid, the get is kashi, if you don't attach to the ground. So what's the pshat? Says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Huda Shmuel. Listen to this. This is really interesting. Vahu sheshir makam hatoref. Oh, what's the case of Rabbi Osai? The case over here is where you left out the space of the Toref. Now, let's say, take a look at Rashi. Vahu sheshir seifa diktani kasher. So, let's say the second part of the Mishnah that says that, technically speaking, you could write a get, even in Mechubar, is where you're leaving out the Toref. Rashi says, Toref, Giluyav Shashtar Makom Ha'ish Ha'ish Vazman. So let me tell you, let me give a little word of background with this. We're going to see that there are two different parts to a get. There's what's called the Tofes and the Toref. So let's start with the Toref. The Toref is the unique custom tailored part of the get. The Toref has the name of the husband, the name of the wife, the date, and the place where they're being divorced. So we're going to spend a little bit of time speaking about the place, you know, how you write the place by a get is different than how you write, and when I say place, location. So again, we're going to see location of a get, interestingly enough, is much more specific than a ksuva, right? So a ksuva, again, they have a whole machlokas. How specific do you have to write? Do you just have to write the country? Do you have to just write the state? Let's say in the United States, do you need to write the city? By get, you have to be very specific, including we're going to see that you actually write not only the city where it's being written, but the nearest large body of water. So I will say, so for example, for many getting written in Baltimore, so we make mention of the Patapsco River. So again, we'll discuss all this. That's called the Toref. That's all of the couple-specific information. There's also something called the Tofes. The Tofes is the generic information that's the same in every single get. What the Gemara now is suggesting is that when the Mishnah says that you can't write a get in Mechubar, on something attached to the ground, what is that referring to? That's referring to the Toref. That's referring to the couple's specific information. But the Tofes, about say you could even fill out a year ahead of time. That we don't care about the Tofes, that's the generic information. So therefore, the case of where you could, technically speaking, write a get on a Mechubar is where you do the following. You write the Tofes while it's Mechubar, then what? Then you detach it, then you write the Toref, and then you have the Edom sign, that's fine. As long as you leave the Toref out, then ultimately, again, the get will be kosher, even if the Tofes was written in Mechubar. So the Gemara says, so to Rabbi Yochanan said, they also named Rabbi Yochanan, that if you began to write the Tofes, even on something that was Mechubar Lekarka, it's okay, as long as you left out the Toref, and then you subsequently detached the item and wrote the Toref in afterwards. The Gemara says, and furthermore, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Elazar hi. This reflects the view of Rabbi Elazar, who says, the Amar, Ede Mesira Karsi. Oh, Rabbi Elazar, now listen to this. Now we're going to come back a little bit and read two different narratives into this Mishnah. So we'll say the first opinion, Rabbi Yochanan holds that this Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Elazar, who holds Ede Mesira Karsi. And remember again, what does it mean that Ede Mesira Karsi? Ede Mesira Karsi means it is the witnesses who witness the giving over of the get, who actually affect the validity of the get. Look at Rashi just a moment. Rabbi Elazar, he masnisin debay ksiva betalush, didarish, the kasa of the kra, aksava get, velo achasimas edim. Rabbi Elazar, he da'amar chasimas haget, eina min ha-Torah, ela min be'tikon ha-olam, hilchach, the kasa of the kra, kasa vaget kai. So also listen to this. So the Gemara wants to suggest, first approach is, the get, remember, what are we saying in the Mishnah? You can't write a get on Mechubar, something attached. But what does that really mean? You can't write what? You can't write the Tofes. The Toref. So the Tofes, the generic part of the get, can be written even Mechubar. Then you have to detach the item, and then you write the Toref. The Toref must be written Lishma, and which is the couple-specific information. It must be written in something detached. Then the get is given over in front of Ede Mesira. Rabbi Elazar says, this is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar holds Ede Mesira Karsi, that is the witnesses who witness the giving over of the get. They are the ones who affect the validity of the get. And that approach says that the ksiva itself must be Lishma. Therefore, again, the item must first be detached. The Toref must be written lishma, and then again the get must be handed over in front of witnesses. And therefore, again, the Gemara says, Rav Lo says, Vachi Kamar. Really, what the Mishnah says is like this: Ein kos vin tofis shema yichtov toreif. In reality, really lechatchila, we'd rather you not even write the tofis of the get in something that is mechubar, because what are we concerned about? We're concerned that if we let you write the tofes, you're going to what? You're going to come to write the Torah. However, kasvu la tofes v'talshu, kasvu la Torah v'kasvu la Torah v'nasnula. But I will say b'di'evet, if you did write the tofes of the get while what? While it was still attached, then you detached it, wrote the Torah, and then went ahead and gave it over in front of Edim, then what? It's kasher. Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, Chas Mushaninu. Reish Lakish says, no, the Mishnah says that as long as you signed the get while it was detached. See, both say, according to the first approach, first understanding of the Mishnah says, L'chatchila, you shouldn't write any part of the get while it's attached. But b'di'evet, if you wrote the toface while it was attached, and then you detached it, wrote the toref l'shma, the ksiva has to be l'shma, and then again you handed it over in front of witnesses, then it's kosher. Because that reflects, if you Rabbi Lazar says, Edim is sira karsi, the witnesses who witness the giving over of the get, they are the ones who affect the validity of the get. Mikra, then you don't even really need witnesses to sign on the get, as we'll see. That's the first approach. Reish Lakish says no. Chas mushaninu. What the Mishnah means is, b'di'evet, what do you need, Rabbi Lazar, as long as what? As long as the get is signed while it is detached. Rabbi Meir hi da'amar edi chasima karsi. And the Mishnah reflects, if you Rabbi Meir, who says that it is the witnesses who sign on the get who create the effectiveness of the get. Vachikamer, this is what it means to say, Ein kos vin toref gezer shema yachtom. In reality, Rabosai, technically speaking, remember, if you hold that the witnesses who sign on the get are the ones who really create the effectiveness of the get, then what does that mean, Rabosai? In a technical level, it means you could write the toref and you could write the toface while the item is still detached. What's the only thing that really has to happen when the item is detached? The signatures of the witnesses. Because it's the signature of the witnesses that creates the effectiveness of the get. So Reish Lakish says like this. What is the Mishnah saying? In reality, in kos fin toref, shema yachtom, l'chatchila, we'd rather you not write the toref of the get. Remember, the toref is the couple-specific information. We'd rather you not write the toref in the get, lest you come to what? Lest you come to sign the get while it's still attached. However, kasvu la toref, but if you ended up writing the toref of the get, if you ended up writing it while it was still attached, talsho, then you detached it, chasmu, and then you signed it, vinasla, and then you gave it to her, kasher, then halacha lemaisa, the get will still be kasher. Why, Rabbi say? Because at the end of the day, Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that what? Ede chasima karsi. It is the witnesses who sign on the get. They have to sign the Shema. And as long as they sign the Shema, the get is valid. And therefore, again, technically speaking, according to this version, as long as the get was signed while it was detached, then b'di'evet, the get will be kasher. So Rabbi say, the point over here is what? Fundamental machlokis in Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi say, you understand, this is an ongoing machlokis, which we haven't even seen yet in the Gemara. We've only seen it quoted. We haven't actually seen the sugya of Edei Chasima or Edei Mesira. But the point Rabbi say the Gemara says over here is that what? Depending on how you understand what creates the effectiveness of the get will determine how you understand the Mishnah. So if you're Rabbi Lazar, and you hold Edei Mesira Karsi, Rabbi say, which means that what affects the validity of the get? The witnesses seeing the giving over of the get from husband to wife. If you hold Edim Mesira Karsi, according to Rabbi Lazar's model, the ksiva must be lishma. The writing must be lishma. But which part of the writing has to be lishma? Which part? The Torah. Why? Because that's the couple-specific information. Therefore, again, what the Mishnah is teaching me is, l'chatchila, we'd rather you write the toface and the Torah in a detached fashion. But b'di'evet, if you wrote the toface while it was still attached, as long as you detached it before you wrote the toface, if you wrote the toface while it was attached, as long as you detached... I'm sorry. If you wrote the toface while it was still attached, as long as you detached it before you wrote the toref, then the get is going to be okay. That's Rabbi Lazar's version. If you hold with Rabbi Meir, Edi Chasima Karsi, then in reality, Rabbi will say, which part of the get must be the Shema? The signatures of the witnesses. Which means that what? Technically speaking, the entire get could be written while it's attached, as long as it's detached when? Before you sign it. That's the Mishnah teaching. The Chatchila, you should detach the get before you write anything. B'diavad, if you wrote the whole thing attached, as long as you detached it before the signatures of the witnesses, the get will be kosher. I'll say one more line. Kasva acheresh la'atzitz nakuf. If you wrote the get, on, well, say, no, atitz nakov. So, you know, everybody has like flashback to their yeshiva days, right? Atitz nakov. So, it's like, remember, atitz nakov is a perforated flower pot. So, atitz nakov poses many interesting discussions in halacha because of the status of what grows in there. What grows in there ultimately is halachically considered to be attached to the ground because Chazal understood that it receives yinika, it receives nourishment through the perforations. Now, in this case over here, what happens? I have the perforated flower pot. So, technically speaking, it's mechubar. But what am I doing? I'm writing the get on the actual flower pot. I'm writing the get on the actual cheres, on the actual earthenware. So what's the halacha? Kasvu acher shel atitz nakuv kasher. Right? Because why? Because I'm writing it on the actual cheres. It's kasher. Why? D'shakilei v'yarevei nehilei. Because Rabbi said, because what am I doing over here? I'm taking the entire atitz and I'm going ahead and I'm giving it to the woman. Rabbi said, so what happens? So now suddenly you want to be a lamdan. You want to say, oh, what is this a case of? This is a case of mechubar, right? It's a case of writing a get of something attached to the ground. So first of all, it's not true. Because first of all, why? The cheres itself, the atzitz, is not attached to the ground. At most, what's attached to the ground? That which grows in the atzitz. But since the atzitz is ready to be moved, ready to be handed over, therefore if I write a get on the actual flower pot, the actual earthenware parts, and I give it to her, absolutely no problem. Look at Rashi, the shakule, lekule atzitz, I can give her the entire flower pot. The ein kan mechusar katzitza. There's no detachment that's necessary. The ein lachush shema yishish baracheres itna chaticha. It's fine. Next case, however, al olosha atzitz nakiv. But I will say, let's say this. Let's say I have something growing in the atzitz nakiv. I have something mamish growing in there. So I want to do what? I want to take a leaf from that which is growing in the atzitz, and I want to go ahead and write the get on that. Abayi amar kasher, the Rava amar pasul. Abayi says it's kasher. Rava says pasul. Why? Abayi amar kasher. Was a tap of chav beis the shakile v'yayev le nihile. Because I will say, even if you're writing it on the leaf inside the plant in the atzitz nakov, Abayi says still kasher. Why? Because what can you do, Rabbi Osai? You can still just give her the entire atzitz. Give her the entire flower pot. There's no mechusar. There's no lacking detachment over here because you could just simply give her the entire atzitz. Rava says pasul gezera shema yiktom. Rava says it's pasul. Why? Because what are we concerned about over here? We're concerned that lemaisa, again, you may choose not to give her the entire flower pot, but you may choose to do what? To just simply give her the leaf. In which case, this is a case of where you are writing the get on something that is mechubar lekarka, and therefore we pass. Rabbi say halacha lemaisa, we pass in this case like Rava that if you were to write the get on the atzitz nakov itself on the cheres, absolutely no problem. But if you were to write the get ultimately on the leaf inside the atzitz nakov, although technically you could give her the entire flower pot, since the possibility is that you may just pluck off the leaf and give that to her, therefore the get will be pasul because it's written by mechubar. Rabbi say we'll stop here for today. But again, remember, just now you understand that how you understand the din of mechubar is fundamentally rooted in the machlokis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir about Eide Mesira Karsi, Eide Chasima Karsi. Meretz Hashem will pick up here tomorrow. Shkoyach. Yes.